You can't do that to people and start the countdown again. Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. Welcome to The Real Network and The Gareth Cliff Show. Today's a good day. I'll tell you why. Because I get to sit with somebody who I love to spend time with. I get to sit with someone who makes me laugh and who has also decided to check out of the world. So she's not going to be boring us with like her political analysis, which, I mean, frankly, you kick over a rock and some fucking political analyst creeps out from under it. And they all look the same. That's scaly true. Skin, many legs, glasses, appear on TV. Well, I think that the ANC and the DA and the GNU is not going to last. That's a lot of acronyms for a fucking snake. Anyway, here is someone who won't do that at all. Dumi Morake. Look at this.
Hello, Hazard.
How are you?
I'm good. You know, Gareth, I realized you and I have a very special relationship where men usually trying to get you into bed, you're always getting me out of bed. Like, it's
you're not the first one. Some of my exes might say that too. How about kick me out of bed?
You good?
Yeah, I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you American? Are you South African? What's the story?
I'm so South African. It's embarrassing, man. Like, I'm sure when, you know, you get to that 10-year mark and then you must decide, I want to try and be a citizen. These guys are going to be like, don't even try. You haven't even been around long enough. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not gelling with the States, man. Like.
But I thought of any of us, like, you would do it.
Thought so too, actually.
You were getting in there. I mean,
I'm
you were
like,
living there.
Oh my
there.
Gosh, I'm like so American.
No, but you were. I mean, you were living in it. You were doing American things.
Still am.
Going to the grocery store.
Still am. Oh my gosh. Like getting everything online.
Didn't you even develop some allergies?
Yeah,
like
I'm
a
allergic
proper American?
To stuff now. I get like, oh my gosh, like the African dust in my eyes.
Oh my God.
But you know, it's for me, it's still ironic. Like, I think a lot of... maybe people who make it don't talk about this, but me, I mean, I always get into trouble. They're like, yeah, you don't have to tell everybody the whole truth. But for me, I think the thing that still brings me home is what I earn in rands is still more than what I make in dollars right now.
Oh my God,
you
really?
Know what I mean? Yeah, because I'm going about
How
it the wrong
work?
Way. I don't know. I guess
your maths is not maths.
No, yeah, but also ish.
But you're spending dollars, which is expensive.
I am spending dollars. Yeah. I don't know how to kiss ass. And I'm so clear about what I want to do that I'm just not willing to do other stuff. Maybe that's the thing. I don't know.
You needed to go to a Diddy party back in the day.
Bruh,
that's what.
Huh? I'd be in there.
You would be in there.
Man, timing. Ne?
I think it was Warris who he retweeted something this morning that I saw just before I started the show. By the way, if I sound like shit, that's because... I think I'm sick, but I don't know what it is. I'm just going to carry on.
It's not a babalas.
No. It's like a coffee lungy thing.
Is it? Whatever you're holding in, release it.
It's pleurisy.
Yeah, okay.
Qatar.
It's very, very early for words like pleurisy, bruh.
Well, I don't know what it is. I'm not a doctor.
Like, easy on the English.
But we were talking about, what's this thing?
Which one? Allergies.
Yeah, no, not allergies. No, man, just before Christ, you see how stupid we are. Like, it takes us 2 seconds to move on. We're like, oh, what are we
making talk? Money in America?
No, it wasn't even that.
Before we even went on air.
No, now.
Shoot, because I was going to say that was very personal.
Guys, what were we just saying before
we
I said, oh, forgive the way I sound? Oh, yeah, Warris tweeted this thing this morning of this girl, like, walking out of a house. Holding her ass and going, I'm never doing that again. And he put there like, going to Diddy's house? Question mark. But I'm not so disturbed about the girls. It's the young boys that really disturbed me about that story.
Yeah, it messed with me because you know, at a certain point, and judge me if you will, I was defending Diddy. Context. I was going, consenting adults, if it's freaky, dicky, sex parties, whatever. I don't care. That's not a reason to cancel someone. Whatever. Let them do their thing.
I know, but you were also a big supporter of Michael Jackson the whole way through.
Calm down. Calm down.
Oh, come on, Tumi. I know you were supporting me.
And I still think
I love the children.
I just think he was too weird to be doing what they said he was doing. You have to be a certain level of weird for other things to just not be a thing.
Okay, anyway, all right. Okay.
But I was defending it, going, consenting adults do freaky, dicky shit.
Sure.
And it doesn't. For me, it doesn't justify canceling someone. I was like, so you're going to cancel him because he likes bums? Like, why?
And you know what?
Yeah.
like, I agree with you, because there are so many people in this country who live these conservative, like, to the world, they're these perfect people, right? Behind closed doors, they are doing nasty things. They're swinging from the chandelier in a Spider-Man outfit with their genitals hanging out.
They are.
I'll tell you what. And you've heard about, like, in these, like, fancy estates where you've got the couples that throw their car keys into, like, a dish, and then they end up with other husbands.
Or they leave the garage a little bit open so that the neighbors open.
We've all heard these stories. So we mustn't think it's just these celebrities who do this. And those people are freaky.
Very free.
Right. So you probably were right in the beginning.
In the beginning. And then when that stuff starts emerging, then you go, now I'm sore. I can't defend you anymore.
I feel so sorry for these kids like Usher and Justin Bieber. I mean, like, these are little kids and they were ruined. They were just completely ruined by these maniacs.
But Bieber found Jesus, né?
Yeah, but he's, you can see he's broken.
Yeah.
Right? I tell you what, I think fame for kids is a very bad thing.
No, it's very dangerous.
And it's especially dangerous if you've got, like, P. Diddy, like, making you sit on his hand.
That is hilarious. You know, I think fame is dangerous for kids. Like, if you leave a packet of sweets and you go, it's for the whole week.
They'll eat them all in one.
After 10 minutes, you're like, So don't give too much, man.
Estate swinger messages are funny, says Bitcoin Boat. So I live in an estate, but it's too small, and I don't think there are enough freaky people in there for any of that to happen.
But also your neighbors should be hard.
No, but I've heard that it's certain ones, like it's Danefern and it's Silver Lakes. Yeah. And there's certain things that these people do that make it clear that that's what they're into.
Yeah.
But you know what? Again, if it's consenting adults, this is how they live. The kids are left home because they finished varsity, they got jobs. And these people are like, well, I don't want to have sex with you anymore. Maybe Sunny from the next door house, or Nompumelelo from the house down the road. Or
then the kids come to visit, try to go to their old rooms, and there's 1,000 bottles of baby oil.
Why is Auntie Nompumelelo's weave in my bedroom?
Oh, man.
What's Daddy been doing there? Because I found his aftershave and Auntie Nompumelelo's wig.
Meanwhile, it was Mommy and Auntie Pumelelo, maybe. Not Daddy.
Even better than that. They're
thick plottings.
Yes, sis. But okay, like you said, you don't want to kiss ass in America, and I understand
that. Yeah.
Those people are so good at schmoozing, hey?
They are. Hey, but I'm learning a new other level of politics between African-Americans and African-Africans. Where there's this perception of us being these privileged blacks when we arrive. Because I was like, guys, we're on the same side. Why do I feel like you are?
No, but you know why?
Why?
Like, that's a very real thing, what you're talking about. Yeah. Very real thing. It's the Nigerians. And I'll tell you why they're doing so well in America.
They are.
Nigerians are in New York, in Miami, in Washington, in California, all over California. Because Nigerians have this work ethic, right? They will do whatever it takes to get the job done or to get the job.
Yeah. But and interestingly enough, so they're the guys who've actually broken the ceiling for me in terms of earnings as well.
Yeah.
Because I was staying in that space with, you know, the American-Americans and the African-Americans. And it was, you can feel, you know, the block.
The average Nigerian-American earns more than the average white American. Average, but just less than the average Asian-American.
So we must hack the agents now.
Well, no, I mean, it's just amazing to me that this undermines that whole narrative that, like, it's got something to do with your race. Mm. Like, a lot of people have been conditioned from a young age by people who are on the grift.
Mm.
You know, these politicians, these white people, frankly, who are talking all the time about, like, DEI and all that shit.
Yeah.
They're on the take.
Yeah.
And then you have parents who are telling their kids, like, you're not going to succeed in this world because you're black. You know, they talk about that conversation.
Yeah,
you have to have that conversation with your kid.
Yeah.
Nigerians don't. They come in, they're like, fuck you.
You're going to
get in. You're going to be in charge. You're going to take control. You're going to make the most of this thing. And then they go in and they just win. I love it.
You remind me of this old Nigerian dude who was saying, any place you go to in the world that doesn't have Nigerians is uninhabitable.
And Indians.
Really?
And Indians give.
Oh, yes.
Like Indians.
And they own it. Dude. I remember going to a Krispy Kreme And the guy there who served me was Indian. So he heard my accent. He was asking where I'm from. He started up a conversation. He's like, yeah, this is his third one. I'm like, you sound like you're fresh off the boat. So how are you on your third Krispy Kreme store that you own, my guy?
But that's rare, because most of the time, Indians are the best assimilators. Mm. Like wherever they go, they learn those accents.
Yeah.
They just assimilate straight into that culture.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a generalization, like a lot of things, source of a lot of humor, but it's mostly true. Like Indians, you put them in Canada, they become Canadians quicker than almost anyone else.
True. Well, the parents, though, don't. The older generation, I find, don't. But you only speak about that. I remember years ago being in Edinburgh, and I go to this store, and they sell tourist stuff, you know, that nonsense we buy just to prove we were there.
Like a fridge magnet of a guy in a kilt.
Huge place, right? Does this Chinese dude not walk out in a kilt? And then he speaks in a Scottish accent. I had to walk out of the store because I was dead. Yo, I had to leave the store, bruh.
So I had this big argument. Well, it wasn't a big argument. Ruda Landmann was here on Friday.
Yeah.
And she did that thing that people that of her generation think is a brave thing, where she like criticized me for doing an accent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I mean, I kind of moved on. But I said to her, it's actually just, as long as you're not trying to be mean.
Yeah.
As long as you're not mocking someone.
Yeah.
Then an accent just makes things funny. And like what you're just saying now, if I had to see a Chinese guy doing a Scottish accent in a kilt, I'm gonna crack the fuck up. I don't care who sees it or who knows it, right?
It messes with you, right? Because you arrive with an image.
And that's going to be so funny.
Oh, that messed with me so bad. So bad.
Did you see how Gareth said garage? Ruda is going to call in and cuck him out. Garage. Now you see, listen.
Did you say garage?
This garage. This comment section is unhinged.
I'm scared of them. I won't lie. I'm scared of
them. Well, you remember. You used to.
Yeah.
Dumi used to, for those of you who are new to this, Dumi used to make regular appearances. She had her own show on Cliff Central before she became wildly famous and had her own radio show. I mean, you did.
I should never have broken up with you.
No, but we had so much fun.
You're like that ex, though. You're like that ex. You're like, yeah, it was so good. It was great. And then she went to go eat poo-poo. Anyway, that was a good time.
But you didn't. You went on to great things.
Yeah.
You went on to moving to America. You went on to having your own radio show, TV show. You were doing all the things.
I really was, though.
You were kicking ass and taking numbers. And by the way, let me just give her credit because she deserves this. She is like among the top five comedians in this country, without a doubt, right? She's a mom of like how many offspring?
I'm on three. Yes, so, rumors say nine. I'm on three.
I remember you had that fucking horrible car accident at the time. You got out of that unscathed, but like just. And you've managed to like have one foot here and one foot there and work on both sides. Yeah. I mean, it's like there are people who say I'm bored or I feel so stuck. And then there are people like you who just do. I love that.
Yeah. As long as there's breath in your body, man, you should give yourself a chance, but just keep trying. Like, you know, I went through that whole episode of just doubting myself. Look, I'm dead. It's been so hard, pandemic. And then,
everyone did, though.
Bruh. But I sat back and I went, Tombs, Fab, during this pandemic, you were chowing your money and you were actually making money. I made more in 2020 than I'd made in 2019.
Wow.
And I'm not doing as much of what I used to do. And I used to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm becoming relevant. And then I go, oh, wait, no, but I just came back from Finland. Oh, I just came back from New York. Oh, I was just in Tanzania. Oh, I was just, and these are all places I've been working in.
When people say they're worried about relevance, does that bother you? Because you've been in the entertainment business for a while.
Yeah.
Like I stopped caring about whether people still say to me occasionally on social media, and I don't really read the comments, but occasionally you see them. It's like, oh, he's irrelevant. And they think they're insulting me. But I'm like, yes.
Yeah, you mustn't be relevant. It's like fashionable.
But you want to be as irrelevant as possible because the kind of people who are, in inverted commas, relevant now are having a very hard time.
And you get boxed. Like now, as soon as you're relevant, now you must commit to the relevance.
Mm.
And for me, I think relevance for me just means I want to still be able to walk into a room and they go, we want her.
Yeah.
So that was where my concern was, because, you know, I like making corporate money. It's easy.
But that's
money.
Like commercial relevance.
So that's commercial relevance. Outside of that, man, even when I was at my peak, I did not feel like I fitted into this nonsense. And I'm glad. I was like, okay, Tooms, you don't fit in. You're not part of any clique. No one's ever put you in a clique. That's freaking dope. That means you cannot fit into anyone's box. Nobody knows how to box you. And I dig that. I dig that I can walk into a space and not be sure when people go, to be Marake. Are they going, to be Marake, the comedian? To be Marake, the host? To be Marake, the radio person? To be Marake, the actress? I wait for them to continue. Then
I forgot. I left out the actress part.
Ah, my friend.
I mean, my God.
Internationally renowned. Yes, please. Sus. Let's respect me. Put some respect
that
on
is,
this name.
You were in like 4 movies?
Eish, my friend. I do all of.
Yeah.
Yeah, some, I mean, I wouldn't say out loud what they were, but, you know.
Well, I mean, there was that one about mind. What was that ex? The husband swap. There was something that.
Yeah.
It was good.
Okay, that was mid-pandemic. That was that the first thing that opened. You liked
it? I liked it. It was funny as fuck.
You
only because
like
you were.
Things.
That's because I watched
like
you.
Very
and
strange
I'm like watching you. You're a very convincing actress, but I was watching it to see if any of the real you
in
came
this
through.
Moment, I don't know what to do with you. I literally. But yeah, you're right. When I went to King, just to finish off my CV, please, in case you've just arrived at Mirek. There was a time I had to, you know, refresh my CV, and I was like, guys, me have been on international TV. I was an alien. I was a whole alien. You know what I mean? Like, I've done stuff, man.
So basically, she's very much still in the market, but you're gonna have to pay top dollar, literally in dollars.
Literally, actually, yeah. The children, they must eat.
I don't know if you saw this. This is funny. I know you haven't been paying attention to politics, but someone sent me this clip last night of. Kamala Harris in that 60 Minutes interview.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's the first interview she's done. Proper interview, right?
What, since the debate or generally?
No, all since like 2019.
Okay. Also TV.
Yeah.
Because you know she did that nice cover.
No, this is a proper interview. And, and the host, 60 Minutes, Bill, I can't remember his surname. Anyway, he asks her about this gun. Because, you know, she just casually revealed during the debate.
She's packing.
I've got a gun.
I've never been so happy in my life. It felt like a low-key threat.
Low-key
by the way, Trump, I'm packing,
but
try me.
The question is, do you believe her?
Yes.
Okay, well, watch this and tell me if you still believe her.
What kind of gun do you own, and when and why did you get it?
I have a Glock, and I've had it for quite some time. And, I mean, look, Bill, my background is in law enforcement. And so there you go.
Have you ever fired it?
Yes. Of course I have. At a shooting range. Yes, of course I have.
Yeah. That's like when, you remember when you were at school?
Yeah.
And your friend says to you, do you have this cool toy? And you're like, yes, I do. Yes. Of course I have.
Yeah.
And I, of course I've played with it. Yes. And it's my favorite one because it's green.
At that time, it's a metal thing.
If you ask someone if they have a gun.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you the gauge, or they don't say, like, I got a 9mm,
yeah.
or I got a revolver, or I've got a pistol, or I've got it. But she goes with a make.
I got a Glock.
Because she's seen that on a security guys. I don't think she's telling the truth. I don't think Kamala would know which way to hold a gun. I'm just saying.
I think she owns one. I don't think she knows how to use it properly, or she did use it at the gun range just once to learn how.
All Americans own a gun.
Pretty much, because I remember
half of them don't know that they own a gun. They're in the kids' bedroom in their bedside table.
Because you know, Griff lives in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
And when we were catching up, he asked me if I own a gun, and I was like, "No, I don't own a gun." He's like, "Why not?
You're in Atlanta.
You gotta be packing." and so he was explaining, because I didn't understand that nobody has fences. Like, nobody has fences. I just love the freedom, but I'm also like, why don't we have fences, guys? And he was like, "You ain't about to step on nobody's yard."
By the way, I've got Griff's number on my phone, but it still says Griff or Dwayne or something or another, because he put it in my phone. So I still don't know like which one. Look here.
Here's
the last message he sent me.
No, it's all good, man. I just had to shoot they wanted me to shoot a 60-second commercial real quick. I handled it.
I didn't know that was going to be the clip, but wouldn't it have been funny if I just cut it off as I wanted to shoot?
I will shoot, yeah.
Straight after we told you about guns.
So I probably will get a gun.
While you're in America,
because apparently I don't need a license. Because you know what? In South Africa, I've never applied for a gun because I'm like, if you have to do some psych test, I'm probably gonna fail, so I'm not gonna bother. Ah, there they're like, ah, it's fine in this state. As long as you keep your gun only within this state, you can carry it.
But you just the more need a crazy you are, the more like,
yeah, and then you only need a license if you're gonna leave the state. I'm like, eh. So we're gonna be like, for fun and jay, as long as we keep it within the state.
Do it.
Ah, my just friend. Do
it. Go to the range. You'll enjoy it. You might even bump into Kamala there.
Hey, man. And be like, okay, hi. Kamala, let me show you how to hold your Glock.
Give me, how are you?
I want the baby brown, man. That's why I'm carrying baby brown so I can be cute about it.
So, you wanted to talk about Casper Nyovest.
Yes. So,
what happened here? I don't know anything about
this. So, here's the thing. The reason I want to talk about that is there's something I don't understand. I know internationally there's a thing we have about celebrities and we must know what happens with them intimately, whatever, whatever, right? But there's also this thing where we all live our lives on social media. That's where we express. It's like if you didn't put it on Instagram, it never happened.
Mm.
So his baby mama put up a post speaking about, it was her birthday. She's a lovely girl, by the way. Topic is wonderful. And she was talking about her birthday and that it slaps different. It's so... because she was celebrating life, she was celebrating her son's beating cancer, you know.
Oh, yeah, the son had cancer.
Yeah, the baby boy had cancer.
Oh my god.
Battled cancer for a while. But then she revealed that Casper had cheated on her while this child was battling cancer, like, you know, in those 2 years that they were going through all of this, and he eventually married the woman he had an affair with while all of this was happening. And so Casper responded to it with a video in which, you know, he takes responsibility, he holds himself accountable and says, you know, he actually would rather look at himself as an example to other men. And in that thing, I was just like, I'm feeling so uncomfortable watching this because I'm going, it's none of my business. Because in the chats, then this debate and this fight happens between bitter women who decide that this is my moment to attack my baby daddy who's trash, who's not supporting his child and disappeared when he had the child. Then there's everybody who's defending him and everything he could have been going through. And the whole time I'm going, but this is a very intimate conversation. Why are we even a part of it at all? And why are we going to pass judgment on everyone who was a player in this thing? You know what I mean? This chick posted this thing. She didn't name names. She just was saying this is what she's been going through. Anyone can argue, yeah, but I mean, did you have to put it that way? If it's happy birthday, you're happy to be alive or sharp. So I appreciate that you can't judge.
So she didn't name names, but people put two and two together. Yeah. Okay.
But there was no sense of bitterness or anything. It was just a thing of this actually broke me and I'm whole again. So when he comes and apologizes and then it becomes now a time to now attack people, I just sat there going, who is setting up a bad, I don't know, habit or precedent? Because I feel like we live in the public eye, it's enough. Everything we do is already being scrutinized. Do we really need to open up our personal lives to the public that much? And is it really that important that we explain ourselves to the public? Because I was wondering if I was in that position, and also with my own stuff, I know, like, oh my gosh, there's so much about me that you're like, oh my God, if this thing gets out, I'm over. But I'm like, how am I over? I can still do my job and I didn't hurt anybody's child, right? Mm. But I go, are we not teaching people that our business truly is their business and that we will even find ourselves apologizing to them for stuff that isn't about them and it's about us?
That's complicated.
I didn't do it in the public domain. It's different if, oh, Tumi Mrake was the one found to be pumping in that see-through window and we all now know this is a family woman. Now we've seen her boning someone publicly. Then I owe a public apology.
On government money.
On government money, dog. Like, I don't know. So the reason I just, it hit me is because I was going, are we now giving people permission that much that we must put ourselves out like that to them? You understand? Especially if what happened behind closed doors. You feel me?
I remember I spoke to a consultant when we started doing radio shows. Someone that Rena, who you know well, introduced me to in America, a woman called Valerie Geller, who's incredible. She once said to me, I don't know if I've got this right or not, and maybe I've got it right some of the time and not others. She said, there's a difference between personal and private.
Right.
She said, you should always be willing to share personal things on your show. Talk about them, your feelings, how you responded to stuff, how you could have been better, right. Where you might have hurt people, what you could have done wrong, what you could have done right, because that's opening up and being vulnerable and being real. Right. But private is when you name names. Mm. Private is when you drag other people into your story unwillingly. Private is when you share information that actually isn't anyone else's business.
Right.
And I've always kind of remembered that when stuff like this comes up, because I think it's nobody's business what Casper and his ex have been through. Right. It's nobody's business. Yeah. And it also isn't an excuse for you to bring all your trash and empty it on their lawn.
Yeah.
You know? And obviously you can be really callous about this and you can say, well, it's her fault because she shouldn't have spoken about this in the first place. But a lot of people really struggle with where that line between personal and private is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what I mean, I feel sorry for both of them, right? From what you've told me, I don't see a bad guy.
It's like, when do you catch a break, man? Because I just feel like I need to be able to catch a break. I need to be able to go home and be me. I can't go home and go, okay, now I can't even get up to shit because now I must go and explain it to the world in a way that the world is still going to judge how I explain it to them.
First of all, you don't owe the world an explanation. Mm. You don't. Because who's the world? And second of all, you think they give a shit. They don't give a shit. They move on very quickly.
Yeah, so while you're answering, they're already on the next thing. Yeah, they just sit down naked.
The worst is like when you see some celebrity, and it's fine. There's a different thing with politicians because they often use our money.
Yeah.
And they drag the country into it, right? So that's a different story. But if it's some celebrity that people are just gossiping about.
Yeah.
Like it's... They don't owe you an explanation. They don't have to account for anything. Yeah. They're not your moral arbiter. They're a fucking TV star or something.
Yeah, because I'm finding a lot of people going on these social media detoxes. And I'm like, guys, firstly, how have you allowed it to get so under your skin that you need a detox from it? It's either a business tool or it's a place where you just go.
Yeah, but you know, also like people overshare. We're living in the age. And again, you can blame media. You can blame social media. You can blame Oprah, you can blame whoever you want, but we live in an age now where people feel they have to let everything out there.
Yeah, but they let it out there. Then when it's me and you face to face, then you can't tell me nothing. You can't express yourself. You can't be honest with me. You can't tell me what you're going through. But you will vomit all over Instagram. Like,
yeah, you see, that's wrong. I mean, obviously that's unhealthy. Forget about whether there's a moral or ethical dimension to it. It's just unhealthy.
Yeah.
Like, who wants to live like that? Who wants to be sharing your most intimate stuff with complete strangers? That just seems pathological.
Right.
And by the way, like, do you think that anyone on the internet is giving you an honest, they care about you so much that you're going to get the wisdom you seek from some angry person on X? I'm absolutely sure that that's not the case.
Mm.
I mean, most people have to pay a psychologist to listen to their shit. We just sometimes need to struggle through stuff on our own. Yeah. If you're going through a hard breakup or you've got health issues or you've got money problems, sometimes just keep it to yourself and just man the fuck up.
Yeah.
Don't share it with everybody.
Look, some people will argue I'm sharing so that if somebody else is going through it, they know it's not just them. But I still feel like
no one
still
asked
a
you
line.
To. What? They're looking for you to set the example for them. First of all, who gave you that mandate? Who like voted? We want this person to represent us.
It's a tough one because I don't know. Sometimes I just I don't know. I feel like people still don't realize that social media is real in that those are real people. Because again, I go to it's the comment. For me, it's about the comments. It's about the people. You open yourself up to a twat who feels unseen in the world and is just going to decide this is their moment to jump on your pain and drill it even more and make you regret that you ever even went on the
thing. We should have done that TV show that we spoke about.
You didn't want to listen.
Do you remember?
Yeah, because
Dumi and I were going to do a TV show where we would go and find the trolls.
Yes.
And we would go to their houses and we'd pull them out of their basements.
Yes.
And we'd put them in the glaring light of the cameras and say, now say what you were going to say. Tell us again.
Yes.
Weakling.
Fetch them from work. Fetch them from. But some of them don't even have data. They park there by the clinics where there's free internet, and then they are logging onto the clinic Wi-Fi. Now the clinic can't help you. Oh, our Wi-Fi is down. They don't know why. Because there you are, you dumbass, freaking stealing hospital government Wi-Fi here. People are irritating.
By the way, there was a big down, internet down yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Massive problem with like bandwidth and people couldn't connect.
Oh, shucks. I thought it was me.
No, it was everybody.
I was out here. I was crap talking my country. I was going, this third world internet nonsense.
No, it was a problem.
Okay.
So yesterday, and you were doing what all those people in the suburbs do. And they're like, oh my God, Africa's such a mess. You can't get internet.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, have you heard how not a peep? Now, all those people who complain nonstop about load shedding, they don't have anything to talk about.
They can complain about the internet going down.
Well, yesterday was a bit of a reprieve for them.
Yeah.
And just wait, because now they're talking about droughts.
Day zero.
Yeah, day zero. So they're starting to talk about droughts. Now, those people are going to find that to moan about. Watch.
No, but also as a country, can we pick a struggle? Can we stop looking? I do feel like even as a country, I'm sorry. I feel like even the people at the top go, I feel like the citizens are a little too docile right now. They're fine. It's too peaceful. What
we
can
we? Need to make
we...
them unhappy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you were like, oh, it's new. It's new government. New. We'll have new. Things will change with new. The new is like, let's shake them up a little bit. Let's see if they're still there.
Let's take something away.
Yeah. We gave them electricity. What else can we take away?
These people are too happy.
Yeah.
Take away their electricity, their internet.
Now let's take away their water.
Water.
Guys, water. So load shedding is something which has never really irritated me because I'm the silver linings person. Any excuse not to work so I can say my internet was down, there was no internet. You know, anything that will force the kids to go to bed early, they can't be on the PlayStation. Now they have to find a brick and make a plan. Water.
That's
I take
big
it personally.
Problem.
For me, I'm one of those guys like, yo, guys, I'm regular. Not to overshare.
Mm.
I'm regular. The minute they say there's no water, I'm like, we need to discuss this for 5 mugs because I have about 3 important trips, long distance calls of nature that need to happen in this time. So when you tell me there's no water, what must can happen? Then they tell you, no, we have a tanker. You can come and collect water. Hold on. Yo, get it. The water, I take it personally. That one, it's personal for me. No, it's personal. Like,
so I know people who, when they've had water problems in Joburg, they'll go to the gym to shower and to shit, obviously.
I can't shit in public space. I can't shit in public toilets. It's hard.
I can't either.
I must
I'm going to be in big trouble.
Bro, I have to check which area has water and try and Airbnb there. Because I can't. It's a number two. In fact, just to put it out there, people who poop in public toilets are very selfish. You are
terrible
very
people.
Freaking selfish. Unless it's a health issue and you absolutely must. You Breathe. Are so selfish. Because I must first deal with a warm toilet seat. Then I must deal with the fact that I am picking up through particles what was happening.
No, I'm totally with you. You're speaking my language.
Selfish.
I also don't even understand, and this is why I've got a sign up in my guest bathroom at home.
Yeah.
Strictly no pooing. Because
really,
because people are savage. They will arrive at your house for a coffee and they'll go and take a 10-minute pilgrimage. It's disgusting.
I'm sorry. If you're sleeping over, it's fine. But
yeah,
that sign is important.
Then if you're sleeping over, you've got a room.
So you've got
with
your own
bathroom.
Toilet.
Right. You're not gonna use the one downstairs. So once I had this party for Christmas, I had a whole bunch of my friends there. Someone went and clogged the fucking thing up.
Oh.
Talk about season's
yeah,
greetings.
Yeah, but what were you serving them?
No.
What were you serving? What did you cook?
No.
This sounds like a
huge. This was a few hours into the day. We were having a supper that night, so I hadn't even given them anything yet. So disgusting.
Oh, wow. Well, I have to be honest. I made an exception when, remember when we had the droughts the first time where we were now using dry shampoos and what? I actually had, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have the number of people living in a house as we do, I was like, that concept.
Terrible.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like now when people
start
are
smelling
building
like
houses.
Park station.
Yes, as people, when they build houses now, we have to kind of build also accommodating camping style living. Like let's go back to digging long drops and having borehole water. And I don't know. I'm at a point where I'm like, we can't complain. We need solutions. And I feel like there has to be a day where the entire country goes, okay, you guys want to mess with us? When this thing happens, everyone who lives within the vicinity of these ministers and counselors must all go to their yards to bath, poop, charge phones, charge vibrators.
It'll get better quickly, hey?
Ah, very quickly, my friend. Let's all go there. You know what I mean? But on a serious note, as a matter of national importance, I need you to know that some of us are at an age where you cannot mess with our relationship with the toilet.
And being regular is very important to you.
At our age, yeah, you don't want to mess. The colon must be clean. Prostate must not have pressure. You are messing with us. I'm just putting it out there. If you care about us, make a plan.
Oh, man. All right. So don't set us up for a thing here, because I don't want us to be talking about this for 6 months.
No, please. Let's fix it. As a country, yeah. I believe in us. There's nothing we can't
do. We need to know who the Minister of Water and Sanitation is and make sure that they are on top of things.
Hey, the Minister of Energy and Water, is still the guy with the patek?
No, energy's Gwed.
Oh, it's Gwed.
Who's got the patek?
No,
tell me.
No, it's old news, man. Last year, when there's that new guy who came in to be the Minister of Energy,
Sputla, Ramakgopa.
Yeah, I remember going by
Sputla.
That watch is not. That's not the Rolex.
That's very expensive.
Whoa, hey, my friend.
So that's like three cars worth of watch.
But I was like, he arrived with it. So let's see what you can do. For me, if he had bought it after we had put him on, I'd be very angry. I was like, but he arrived with it. Let's see. And he made a difference. Bless his heart.
Well, I haven't given credit to him on the show, but I have on social media. But Teto Nyati, who's taken over at Eskom, seems to be doing an excellent job.
Also.
You know what? You know someone's doing a good job when you don't hear about them in the news.
True. Hmm? No news is good news.
So if you follow him on social media, he's always posting these very positive things, but he's getting the work done.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a duck. They look all calm on the surface, but underneath those feet are going.
We need a culture of maintenance. That's all. I think it's a continental issue. South Africans like to be so hard on themselves.
Mm.
And I think let's just give ourselves credit let's forgive ourselves a little bit. As a continent, there's a problem with a culture of maintenance where you'll find when you look at countries like Ghana and whatever.
Are you talking about baby daddies again? Maintenance.
But we really can build such impressive structures. You live in here, the first world, talk about how impressive it is. Then we don't keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we showed you we can do it. And they're like, okay, we were cool. And then we walk away. So I think that's what's happening right now. This guy's probably realizing it's not a matter of what we don't have. It's a matter of what we don't maintain, what we're not taking care of. If we can take care of the stuff that we have, and then we'll look at building other things, but let's look at what we have. Let's keep it alive.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Very serious note to end that part of the
conversation. No, me, I'm very serious. You know, my comedy doesn't just kick in.
It's time for the window seat with travel.co.za. This is something that you could talk about because you've done a lot of holidays lately. And we're going to speak to Sam Bronckhorst, who was meant to be on a couple of weeks ago, and we canned the show. Poor Sam had to go home without ever appearing on the show. I felt terrible about that, by the way. No, I did. I sent you an email and I said, well, when you come in, we'll have flowers for you. I didn't bring the flowers.
I was about to ask you if you sent you flowers.
See flowers.
No.
Oh, gosh.
But listen, I mean, you have a pretty damn awesome job. So Sam works for Beachcomber.
Mm.
She is the sales executive for Beachcomber. You know, Beachcomber, they did all those, back in the day, they started the first trips to Mauritius.
No.
Isn't there a resort coming in KZN?
That's not one of ours, but yes.
I thought it was a Beachcomber. Okay,
yeah,
that's not
one Beachcomber,
of yours.
So we don't need
but
to talk
Beachcomber,
about it.
But Beachcomber, I mean, that name, just Beachcomber, has been around a long time.
Yeah.
And it has got a good reputation. And people love it. It's like smacks of tropical holidays, sipping stuff out of coconuts, you know, all the good stuff.
It's so good. I actually I just came back yesterday from Mauritius.
Don't make us.
It was so good.
Don't make us angry.
So good.
So she's got a nice tan and she just explained it.
But Marau, is this what you do every time? I mean, like, do you go there all the
about two, three times a year.
That's very nice.
Blessed.
Poor you. Oh.
Yeah.
Poor you. What a hard job,
Such
Sam.
Such a tough job. Yes. You know, like, it's a struggle to explain to my friends that I do actually work because it doesn't look like it. Looks like I'm just holidaying all the time. But Gareth, you're right. Beachcomber has been around for ages.
When did it start?
1952.
Your,
so yeah, very
50s.
long. Yeah.
That's incredible.
So we've been around for like over 70 years now. We're pretty much the pioneers of Mauritian tourism.
Yeah.
And it's such a respected brand. We really go above and beyond to make sure that we not only have the most exquisite hotels on the island, but also from a service perspective, from a food perspective.
So name those hotels because people will know them.
Okay. So let's start from our four-star categories. We've got Mauritia and Cananea, which are on the north part of the island.
Absolutely.
So if you are looking for shopping, some nightlife in Grand Bay, those are great hotels to look at. We've got Victoria and Trobisch on the northwest coast. West coast is the best coast. Mm-hmm. Stunning, stunning.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got down on the southwest coast at the Limon Mountain, which is...
God, that's beautiful.
It is the most iconic location on the island. Place,
have you seen those aerial pictures?
It's stunning.
Guys, look up Limon, L-E space M-O-R-N-E. Aerial photograph. There is an underwater waterfall.
Yes, exactly.
As the, yeah. Do me, you're going to shit your pants for this. And it's I don't amazing. Mean in a bad way. Like, you can see the edge of the reef.
Yes. Wow.
And it goes down. Yeah. And there's this big, beautiful mountain. And then these gorgeous resorts on this perfect white sand.
Perfect.
It's like every picture book.
Yeah.
And then you've got this magnificent see-through water. And that's how you can see the edge of this.
No, it's really wow. is. It's on another level.
It's magnificent.
So we've got 2 5-star resorts that pretty much take up that entire peninsula,
damn.
Which is incredible. So obviously with us being around for so long, we were able to secure some of the best locations on the island, which is great.
Yeah.
Because as with any country, you've Look got your that. Good and Look your bad.
That. Look that to me. Oh, that's
gorgeous. Yeah. So that's, I mean, so a huge chunk of that is really beach
And that mountain, the mountain looks like a cathedral.
It's incredible.
And doesn't one of them also have a golf course on it?
Yes. So Paradis, which is right there in this location, has got an on-site golf course, 18-hole championship recognized golf course. And then right next door at the foot of the mountain, we have Dina Robin. And what makes those two properties also so incredible is you've got 2 5-star properties, which are interchangeable with one another.
Oh.
So that's huge value. And then we've got very close to the airport, we have Shandrani, one of our 4-star superior hotels. What makes that option so great, especially for people traveling with young kids, is it's only 10 minutes from the airport.
Yeah,
so, you know, you've like,
I mean, there been,
exactly, lagging these kids around and you're tired and you're frustrated. Now, the thought of getting in an hour-long transfer, I mean, I know as a mum, gosh.
Yeah.
Hell on wheels.
So, exactly. So Shandrani is very popular for that reason. And then for, in terms of luxury, we have Royal Palm, which is part of Leading Hotels of the World.
Ooh.
And that's also something spectacular to experience.
You guys probably own more property in Mauritius than any Mauritian.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. That's a huge portfolio of stuff.
It's an incredible portfolio. And essentially, we have something for everyone. So, you know, if you're a family with young kids, we've got something for you. If you are people who don't want kids around you, we've got our adults-only offerings. We've got...
When you say that, most people go, okay, that means there are no kids. But then there's a certain group of people who, when they hear adults only, they think, oh, this is going to be wild.
No, it's right? not wild.
You know what
it's
I mean.
Not
you
wild.
Are those people, Gareth, please.
They're like, oh, it doesn't mean there are no children. It means that all the wild adults are there.
No. That would be something that else outside of beach coma.
Got you.
Maybe you can talk a bit about that.
So,
yes, Gareth.
No, I wish. But which places? Because South Africans love Mauritius. It's close.
Yes, it's close. Direct flights.
It's
visa free.
Tropical. It's heavenly. It's magnificent. It's safe. All of those things. And which of these places are the most popular?
Okay, so if we're talking like general stats wise, Victoria and Shandrani are generally our most popular hotels for South African families. I think it comes down to the fact that both offer premium all-inclusive. We know the South Africans can, you know, really
drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you've got to be honest about this.
And we love our food. So everything is included. You've got some imported and premium brands in terms of liquor. That's all included. Yeah. But further than just that, you know, all your food, your snacks, all of that stuff is included. Another huge value add, especially for South Africans, because we are naturally quite active,
yeah,
is all of our water sporting is included, even water skiing, wakeboarding. We do guided glass bottom boat excursions every day, snorkeling trips. All of that is included.
Sure.
Regardless of whether you take all-inclusive or not.
But people love these all-inclusive
exactly
things. You know, because then you
it
also...
It makes sense.
You don't have to stress. You're like, oh, how much am I going to spend over and above?
No, with Beachcomber, our all-inclusives are very, very inclusive. So I always tell my clients, like, the next time you're going to swipe that credit card is for your Uber at OR Tambo or your parking or whatever the case is. Because whilst you're with us, it's all included. And we've got so many different activities. I mean, if we're talking kids, we've got kids clubs and teens clubs. So if you just need like a minute away from those kids, not only do they have a safe space to go to, but we also have these interactive programs that we do with the kids.
You're just answering this for Carl. He says, I'm thinking of taking my wife and kids next year to celebrate our joint 40th birthdays.
Aww.
Are the facilities for kids as great as everyone makes out? I don't want to see my kids for a week. Is that possible?
That is so possible. And Beachcomber now offers decade birthday discounts and benefits. So
nice.
I'm seeing this 40th birthday.
Nice.
And so you'll get a discount on your package. The kids will be out of your hair and they love it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So now Beachcomber is truly an incredible product. Our staff are so warm and hospitable. We really aim to please. And it's just a winner.
Okay. Now, Mauritius is obviously one of the things that you guys are most famous for, and that's one of the best things that you do. Does Beachcomber have other properties all over the world, or is it just Mauritius?
We used to, but currently we are focusing only on Mauritius.
So,
you know, we've got this belief that when you focus all your attention in one space, you can perfect it.
Mm.
And I think we've done
that. Going through those properties, my God.
Yeah, for Mauritius, wow. you honestly would experience the best with Beachcomber. And as I said, you know, our value benefits are so great. And I mean, I know South Africans, we don't mind spending money as long as we know we're getting bang for our buck.
Yeah.
And we give you that. So when you're spending...
So what sort of, give me a low end and give me a high end price here.
Gosh, it's so tricky because you've obviously got your different seasons. So
sure.
Low season would obviously be the winter months, which is the same as South Africa winter months. December is pricey.
Sure.
So that's obviously our prime. But I suppose you're looking at anything from about 30,000 per person for a 7-week holiday. But remember, with Beachcomber, the kids are almost complimentary in a sense.
Sure.
Because when you share with your parents, we offer incredible family rates. So you're almost not paying for these children. So your holiday once again becomes value-filled. And then obviously our prices go up with, you know, with our higher star-rated
results.
I'm sure
you get those people who like having the fancy food and the, you know.
Yes. But a cool thing with us is once you've opted for that all-inclusive, all your restaurants are pretty much included. In our entire portfolio of hotels, there's only two restaurants that come on a supplement. And that's like lobster dinners and seven-course Wagyu beef this and sashimi that. So those only two restaurants in our entire portfolio. Outside of those two, every single restaurant is included in your meal plan, which is great. Because there's nothing worse than you go on the 7-night holiday and now you're stuck at the buffet the whole time.
Ooh, oh, gosh.
You know, you don't want that. So with Beachcomber, you don't have that. You've got an option to dine at a couple of different restaurants. The buffet is on a 7-day rotation at least. Mm. So every night at the buffet, it's something different. Plus, all of our 4-star resorts are interchangeable with one another.
Yeah.
So let's say you've opted for Shandrani because you want to be close to the airport, but you would like to experience the north of the island. Mm. No problem. Book yourself a taxi, go have a look around Mauritius. And once it's lunchtime, pop into one of our 4-star resorts up at the north and you can enjoy something different.
I was actually about to ask her that. Like, are you stuck on the resort the whole time?
No. And Mauritius has actually got so many cool activities. So if you're one of those people that are like, oh gosh, you know, I don't know if I could be on a beach for 7 days.
Yeah.
I'd like to see and do some other things. Mauritius has got tons of activities, from zip lining to catamaran cruises to visits of different historical sites. There's so many different options depending on what your interests are.
Yeah.
And you're definitely not bound by our hotels. And then we've gone that step further to make it easy for you to not waste your all-inclusive, because you can now go and enjoy that lunch at another hotel or spend an afternoon somewhere else in a different section of the island.
If I asked you to explain like the difference between the east and west coast of Mauritius, could you explain that to me quite simply?
Yeah. So west coast is best coast.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You did say that. I think it's I haven't experienced the east coast of Mauritius.
All right. So the west coast is obviously on the west side of the island, and it's very sheltered from the island itself.
Mm-hmm.
So your weather is generally all year round. So let's say you are planning a winter holiday in those June school holidays or whatever the case is. I would definitely recommend looking at the West Coast.
Because they occasionally get cyclones and things.
They do. Yeah. They do. But we're so well geared for it now. You know, we anticipated. We've got great structures and policies and procedures in place to make sure you will be safe. You don't have to stress. The East Coast, however, is susceptible to these like trade winds that sweep over the island more so in the winter months. So here from around May to September, that's when it's a more dicey time to go. Yeah, in that sense, west would be best. And also you get the sunsets on the west coast.
Ah.
I mean, I don't want to be waking up at 5 a.m. to watch the sunrise on my holiday. But a sunset on your patio, on the beach.
I like
and you
it.
Get that on the west coast. Seven of our 8 resorts are located on the west. So you get all of that. It's only Shandrani, but once again, because we have all this experience and we've been around so long, we've built that hotel in such a particular way that it is sheltered from any wind. So it's like almost tucked into a peninsula. And also on the Blue Bay Marine Park. So your snorkeling is like on another level.
Sure.
So yeah, depending on what you're looking for.
Listen, I haven't been there for years now, but
you've
the way you're describing it now, it feels like I should. Eh?
Well, you've got my number now. So.
Yeah. Well, now we know. Now we know who to call.
Exactly.
But if you need to know anything else, you can also hit travel.co.za and they'll be putting up a whole bunch of promotions and ideas. And if you're looking for something to do this December or you want to plan in advance, which is always a good idea,
always a good idea.
I mean, a lot of people don't get this. Like my brother is so smart. He's so much smarter than me. He like books a holiday a year or two in advance.
Oh, wow.
And he pays for it then. So that when it comes, he's like, oh, it's paid. I don't have to worry anymore. Like, I've got to get my life in order.
Yeah, it's
so
a good idea.
Right?
And you get to choose like what room it is because nothing's sold out yet.
Mm.
You know, I mean, Mauritius books up quickly. It is such a favorite for South Africans going on holiday. So I would definitely recommend trying to book those holidays a little bit more in advance. It's generally a little cheaper. Plus, like I say, you get to secure what you want, where you want. And once you get there, then it's all paid.
Amazing. All right. I love it. Linda says, Beachcomber is absolutely the best. Every word she says is 100% true.
Yay.
I mean, she doesn't even work for you and she's saying these things.
Thank you.
All right.
That's awesome.
Well, it's very nice to spend time with you.
Yes. Thank you so much
for
this opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Last time you came, you arrived here, had a cup of coffee and were chased away.
It's all good. I understand. So things happen.
So rude.
No, don't stress.
I'll never do that to anyone again. I you know, when you oversleep and you're like, oh God, who's coming? Who am I going to let down? What am I going to do? And you, for a while, you stop and you don't actually know what to do. So you, instead of getting ready or making a plan, you just go.
Yeah.
With your toothbrush in your hand or whatever. Yeah, you glitch.
I get it.
It's very bad. All right. But anyway, we're over it now. And I'm thrilled to have had you here this morning.
So you can.
Thank God. And I can go back to Mauritius with a clear conscience.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Sam.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks so much.
Great. And we will see you soon, either here or in Mauritius.
Fabulous. I look forward to it.
And if anybody does want any info, you can go along to travel.co.za and make your dream holiday a reality. We'll be back with more in just a moment or two. In a moment or two, Tumi Murake will be back with us for the next hour or two. And we've got a guest popping in. She does kids' books, which is cool. Yeah. And that is a burgeoning category. Like, because parents are going, my kid's just on the phone the whole time. They need to read books. And the kids' books that they're doing now are fantastic. We're going to speak to Kelly. She's also an illustrator. So there's lots to talk to her about and plenty more good stuff on the way in the next hour. Don't go anywhere.